Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Witness the witless call of the white American conservative. Eugenics is an elitist plot to exterminate the black race. Abortion should be opposed because it is drastically limiting the number of black births. Martin Luther King was a Republican. Democrats are the real racists. Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and he was a Republican. Black people and Latinos and Muslims need sound money in the Constitution, too. And the most witless of all, it's not about race. If Obama was white, I'd feel the same. It's not about race. It's about illegal immigrants breaking the law. According to today's conservatives, nothing is ever about race. They pride themselves on being more colorblind than the most fanatical liberal, more anti-racist than the most extreme multiracialist. The white race is threatened with extinction today. But conservatism, which once stood for racial integrity and the continued existence of our race, has switched sides and has now openly embraced multiracialism and white genocide. Conservatives today are heavily fixated on avoiding being called racists, which is the political equivalent of the mafia's kiss of death for any movement which wants to be popular among the lemmings these days. And conservatives, despite the fact that demographics and Jewish media control have doomed their movement and stripped them of most of their power, need popularity to hold on to what income and sinecures they have left. Almost all non-whites in America, no matter how conservative some might be in personal habits or family traditions, cleave to the liberal line and the Democrat Party because the Democrats are the party of white dispossession, of payoffs to the underclass and wide open borders. There is no hope that these people can ever be brought to support American conservatism. The more tradition-minded blacks have their churches. The more tradition-minded non-white immigrants have their Asian or Muslim or nationality or race-based groups to fall back on. Their conservatism is based on conserving their culture and preserving their people. Both liberal universalism and the new universalist non-racial conservatism are alien to them. True belief in everyone is equal universalism is limited almost exclusively to white folks, whom the more intelligent non-whites probably and rightly regard as crazy. Nevertheless, conservatives try to out-liberal the liberals when it comes to race. They make sure that the very few blacks or mestizos who show up at conservative events are highlighted in their publications. They lionize the very mediocre Herman Cain to prove to us how non-racist they are. Despite the fact that almost all American conservatives are white, the conservatives and Republicans would rather have a limb amputated than do anything to secure the continued existence of white people, or even admit that they represent white interests. They can get away with this because they know that white Americans have nowhere else to go politically. They take whites for granted. They can keep all their white support by just being a little less anti-white than the liberals. And they can avoid being called racist by the Jewish media by taking the same tack. Shouting, "Slow down a bit," at some of the more outrageous anti-white policies of the regime in Washington, but never taking effective action or even speaking out against white genocide or telling us who's responsible for it. Conservatives try to position themselves as the truly colorblind people, as opposed to the very race-conscious, self-hating liberals and the race hustlers like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. The unstated assumption is that being colorblind, meaning race blind, is a moral good, and being racially conscious is a moral evil. What a change from the days when the great Revelo P. Oliver, an open partisan of Western man and his continued biological survival, was a leading light of conservatism, helping to found the John Birch Society and writing for conservative journals like National Review, American Opinion, and the American Mercury. By the 1960s, Oliver realized that, in his words, conservatism was a cause not only lost, but unworthy. And in the years since then, with the takeover of the conservative movement by the Jewish-led neoconservatives, it has only gotten worse. In 1966, Oliver quit conservatism and quit pulling the punches he was increasingly required to pull by conservative editors and leaders. And he began speaking frankly and forthrightly about the existential plight of our race. By 1969, he was helping William Pierce found the National Youth Alliance, predecessor to the National Alliance, and telling all who would listen that only a radical affirmation that we were white and that we intended to survive as whites in this hostile world could possibly save us. And he identified the Jewish power structure as our principal opponent and the primary engine of our destruction. The conservative opposition to multiracialism back in the 1960s and 1970s has now totally collapsed, as the Jewish neoconservatives, who are enthusiastic multiracialists, have taken over. But even the old line, traditional conservatives, were doomed to fail. For fear of being called racists by the Jewish-owned mass media, even then they fought with one arm tied behind their backs. The old-line conservatives could argue against Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Acts, for example, on every ground but the most crucial one. They could say that many of the people pushing these forced association laws were communists, and that was true. And they could argue that forced association and fair employment laws were unconstitutional, which was also true. They could point out the undoubtedly bad economic consequences of hiring unqualified non-whites in our businesses and industries. But what they wouldn't do, and what they didn't do, was say this, and I paraphrase Dr. Oliver: "We are Americans, white people of Western civilization. Our values and the great culture and science and wealth we have created are ours, and ours alone. Our survival depends on us keeping them for ourselves and on keeping the land that sustains us as our property and no one else's. Furthermore, the very existence of that culture and that science depends on our continued existence, and we cannot risk losing what we are by mixing with other and incompatible races. All that we and our ancestors built depends on us, and we in turn depend on it for our sustenance and progress. No group of outsiders will be allowed to take our land or corrupt our blood, whether by force or by stealth, and any who attempt to do so will pay the ultimate penalty." But the conservatives didn't take that position. They didn't stand their ground. One can hardly call them conservatives at all, since they absolutely failed to conserve. They gave up ground so fast that the conservatives' position on matters of race is hardly distinguishable from that taken by radical multiracialists just 40 years ago. And in fact, we now have soi-disant conservatives claiming to be the true intellectual heirs of the black communist agitator Martin Luther King. A better name for the conservatives would be the comfortable cowards. As long as they could move to a relatively safe suburb, smoke their imported cigars, puff themselves up with dogmatic 17th century morality, engage in purposeless militarism and utterly empty patriotism to a flag and not a people, they were content. They like the comfortable reservation their enemies have allowed them in payment for their treason, and in their softness, they fear a direct battle with those enemies. So they never fight one. They just keep on making deals with people who are much better at making deals than they are, and selling out their children's future right to the end. Eventually, the children of those conservatives will be a tiny and hated minority, most of them unable to advance even into the third tier of the new elite, and will be forced to live cheek by jowl with the lowest peons of the third world underclass that the billionaire Jewish elite is importing to our country. Whites are being pushed down to the proletarian level everywhere in North America. One especially egregious example of how conservatives are given false hope and offered false solutions was brought out on this program several years ago by the writer Hadding Scott. Quote, "For years, the Republican Party has tried to smooth over the differences within its coalition by deceiving the pro-white supporters of the party into thinking that their stake in the party is greater than it actually is. One especially clear example of how persons of pro-white sentiment are fooled is the Jewish ex-Marxist David Horowitz. Horowitz has written several books with titles like Hating Whitey, intending to be sold to a white readership. White people who, of course, are starved for recognition of some of their problems, such as anti-white crime and anti-white discrimination. Any white person who cares about his race and reads Horowitz carefully, however, which most people do not do, will be disappointed to learn that Horowitz, the Jew, has no interest whatsoever in preserving the white race. On the contrary, he complains that the more blatant anti-white policies actually backfired and have increased racial separatism. That is the kind of thing that worries Horowitz. He is not interested in the survival of the white race at all. But this fact is missed by many readers, who seem to regard his books simply as collections of useful anecdotes for complaining about how unfair things are, a typical conservative playpen activity. Close quote. Pretending to be the true exponents of fair multiracialism will not stop the importation of cheap labor and the proletarianization of the white worker. It will not prevent the ever more numerous members of the more favored non-white groups from pushing our children out of the best schools. It will not close the wide open sluices of non-white immigration into the West. It will not stop the rape and sexual slavery of our children and women by peoples with a very different understanding of their value than we have. It will not stop the rising tide of non-white crime and corruption. It will not stop the open pandering to non-white interest groups by our careerist politicians. It will not stop the academic establishment's pushing of multiracialist values on our students. It will not change the anti-white alien control of our mass media. Accepting the multiracialist values promulgated by people who want to kill you and meekly asking for fairness from those people and their employees is not a formula for success. It is a formula for death. To all of you good people who are supporting efforts based on that formula, I urgently ask you to reconsider. At this late hour, only an affirmation that we are white and that we must do whatever is necessary to ensure that our race survives can save us. White people have an absolute non-negotiable right to exist, to organize and govern ourselves, to have our own exclusive territories for our nations and peoples, and to keep the products of our labor for ourselves and our posterity. Only by taking that uncompromising stand and backing it up with all the wealth and will and power we can muster do we have a chance to provide for future generations of our people. Only by stopping our pretenses and halting our retreat do we have a chance of being worthy descendants of our ancestors. That is the message of the men and women of the National Alliance. As our society descends into darkness, we must be building alternative structures of community and communication and racial and cultural preservation, structures which will survive this dark time and emerge into a brighter future of our own making. And we need your help. Stay a part of the more timid efforts if you like, but with a goal of radicalizing and enlightening your co-workers there. Tell the other whites in these groups about the Alliance. Support the Alliance with all you can afford in time and energy. Give as much as you can to the cause of our children's future. Use your influence and intelligence to add to our efforts and make them better. Take a stand. The half measures and pretending of the conservatives are really a kind of lie, and a rather weak and ineffectual lie at that. The National Alliance represents the uncompromised truth. Conservatism, even at its best, before the takeover by the Jewish neocons, was always doomed to fail. It was always a defensive rearguard action. It had no new vision of its own, no real vision at all, except stopping change and keeping what we once had, at which it failed miserably. The National Alliance, in contrast, tells the rising generation of young whites, without weasel words or evasion, that they will be the last generation of whites unless radical action is taken now. We tell them truthfully that they have been lied to their entire lives by the academy and by the media. We show them that they have been fed a false religion from birth, whether that religion was universalist Christianity or the secular liberal faith in equality. We tell them the truth that no one else will tell them. That they are the heirs and last living representatives of the race which first measured the stars and set foot on the surface of another world, and that the future of life in the universe depends on what they do, right here and right now. And we give them a vision of the great future, the world of unimaginable new discoveries, power, and progress that can be, if we take control of our nation and our evolutionary destiny once again. Only such a vision can save us. Only such a vision can inspire the actions and sacrifices necessary for victory. And only the Alliance is giving the new generation that vision. Please join us today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the new National Alliance membership organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil.